So we're talking today about a very important sugya, which really comes up in Parshas Naso and in Maseches Sota. I want to give a little bit of background and try to do a good job so we can be familiar with it. Some of the background is going to relate specifically to the Karban of Minchas Sota, also referred to as the Minchas Kinaos, Kuf Nun Aleph Vav Tav. And it's the mincha the sota brings, but I want to give a little bit of background as far as the sota process so that we can understand well why we're bringing it and what exactly is going on. So let's sort of get going in the following way. A sota, who we call a sota, is really a sota suffix. You have a woman that you're not sure exactly of her status. She is currently not allowed to be with her husband. We know that her husband told her, don't be alone with this guy. We know she was alone with this guy, but we're not entirely sure whether or not she was mizana. Did she fully cheat on her husband, or did she not cheat on her husband? And the Torah describes there in Parshas Naso and Perakei of Sefer Bamidbar a whole sort of like elaborate ordeal that the woman has to go through in towards a particular goal. We bring her to Yerushalayim. Her hair is going to be uncovered. Many of us are aware she's going to be drinking the Mayim Arim. She's going to be drinking the Sota water. Shem Hashem gets erased into that water. As part of the process, she's also going to offer a carbon. That carbon is known as the Minchas Sota. It's a carbon which comes not from an animal, but it is a flower offering. Similar to the Mincha you bring, the Minchas Chote, the carbon olivior, when a person sins, they bring a mincha, the atypical minchas. Typically, you voluntarily bring a mincha, minchas nidava, but there are certain exceptions to that. This mincha, like the minchas chote, is missing shemen and lavona. It doesn't have oil in it, it doesn't have frankincense, doesn't have lavona mixed in, and it's a minchas sota that is brought as part of that process. If you look in the psukim, they're not even here. Sorry, I'll bring it. We'll screen share, I guess, to my notes because I think the psukim are there. So if you look in the psukim here in Bamidbar and Perakei, what you find is a couple of things about this karban. Vehevia isus istu ala kohen. The husband brings his wife there. Vehevias karbana aleha asiras ha'efa kemach se'orim. So it's brought from se'orim, which is also important. It's lo yitzok aleha shem avlitin ala lavona, as we mentioned. Ki minchas kina'osu. Minchas zikaron maskeres avon. This mincha is somehow associated with her sin. Her sin. If you look at the psukim, it is brought along with Vehikriv Osa Kohen, Vehemida Lifnei Hashem, Velachach Kohen Mayim Kedoshim Bichli Cheres. There is the Mayim that he mixes in. He then goes and he's Upara Esros Aisha. He separates her. He uncovers her hair. Then he puts the Minchas Zikaron on her, the Minchas Kinaos. She has to take a Shavua. Did you violate an Issa or not? It's all intertwined. Undoubtedly, this Minchas Sota plays a very prominent role, a very dominant role, throughout this sort of process of the sota, of the sota. Now, in general, and this is going to frame a bit of the issue, but one of the major questions to know about sota in general, the whole goal of this process, what exactly, in many ways, you would say the main point of the story is, there seem to be two main approaches in Achronim, which also appear to be probably two approaches we've shown him. The Beis Halevi has a tshuva where he famously discusses this a bit. You have elements of it based on the comment of the Maharik. You have elements of it based on the comment of Reb Chaim. That there are two main ways to relate to the entire ordeal. One way of looking at it is that we're trying to clarify a question of chet. We don't know, was she mizana, was she not mizana? Did she cheat on her husband, did she not cheat on her husband? We're not entirely sure. That's the whole suffix going on right now. And in many ways, the goal of the whole ordeal is to come to a degree of clarity as to what exactly happened. That's why at the end of the story, we're either going to clarify that she sinned, and the psukim tell us it's going to lead to
her passing away, or alternatively, if she did not sin, i.e., she sinned in that she violated the Nisr of Yichud, but did she exactly sort of like sin the level of Znus? We clarify, she didn't really do anything, you know, she not cheated her husband, she was not Mizana. So then we'll clarify, and she's allowed to be with her husband, they may be blessed with children, the Gemara, the Torah explains, Chazal elaborate on, and that's one way of looking at Sota. It's our way of clarifying, you know, what exactly happened. I believe that Rabbi Kamenetsky even once suggested that, you know, Halacha has a lot of ways of clarifying things. We have Eidos, we have Roves, we have Chazakas, but I think he pointed out that when a husband has certain questions about the fidelity of his wife, when he's nervous, she may have cheated on him. So regular Eidim and the regular forms of clarification may not be good enough to really convince him she did nothing wrong. We need the miraculous. And in many ways, so does a miraculous event, which is the only way to give a husband real closure and allow him to say, you know what, it's really all good. There is a different approach to relate to Sota, where obviously Znus is the background of all of it, but we're really talking about the breakdown of a relationship and an attempt at potentially clarifying, can we rehabilitate this relationship? Can we not rehabilitate the relationship? In that sense, the pasuk that is most, I guess, significant is Umal Bomal, she betrayed him. It's more about the breakdown of their relationship rather than anything else. What's the nafka mina if the main issue is like their relationship, or was she mizana? So the Halevi points out again, it's not exactly the way he says it out, but there do seem to be discussions in Rishonim, Tosfos and the Rambam. Could there ever be a woman who becomes a sota, even though she is with and alone with a man that does not technically have the ability to violate znus with? Maybe it's a katan, whose bia, a certain kind of katan, whose bia is not a real bia. Maybe it's a person who does not have the biological capacity to have bia with a woman. If it's all a question of znus, that's totally irrelevant to discussion of sota. We know she wasn't mizana with that guy. There isn't the possibility for halachic bia for any form of real adultery. If, however, it's more about a breakdown of relationship and a question of whether she betrayed him, so if she's alone with the guy, even though technically there couldn't necessarily be znus, there could still be a kinoy, a stira, etc., because the relationship on some level may have fallen apart. In that sense, one of the primary goals is looking a little bit less into did she sin, a little bit more, although it's connected to that, but the primary goal is what's going on with this relationship? Can we fix this relationship? Is the relationship going to fall apart? Can it be rehabilitated and be better than it ever was? That's going to be part of the issue. That is all what I would call background to the sugya of Sota. We spoke about this in Shir, I think, a couple of years ago. We had a Shir on this topic. Okay, fine. That's more or less where it is. If you are more interested in understanding about Sota, you can feel free. We can be in touch about that and many other things. It's all good, whatever I can be helpful with. This provides background to our primary question about the mincha of Sota, which is, what is its goal? It's the same question with every karban. We're not getting that fancy. What is the goal of this karban? It's the theme of what we're talking about. Now, we know that a minchas nidava is a mincha that you are bringing voluntarily, which we've shown him explain is a daron, the simple pshat, it's a gift. This does not appear to be what's going on here. There's no gift being offered. We dafka don't want it to be so nice, the Gemara and Sota explains. It doesn't have shemen and lavona, shelo yehei karbano mehudar. We don't want it to be a nice looking karban. We want it to not be so nice. So what is the goal of this mincha? What is the goal of this mincha? So it certainly has one goal, and it quite frankly may have, or there's debate about whether it has an additional goal. The first goal establishes minchas sota as a unique kind of mincha. That maybe the goal here is just, we'll quote it to Gemara in Zvachim and Avtzadi, but we'll see Rishonim say it very explicitly, its primary goal is just, according to the Bechor Shor here as examples, papers in Torah, Zos Eina Ba Ela Livdok Ulgalgel Avo. Gemara explains in the Masechta Zvachim, the reason why we bring a sota, the Micha sota, is to help us or to clarify for us whether she sinned or not. Whether she sinned or not. Dasa Kanan writes, similarly, that is the primary goal, Rashi in Menachos. On Heyamid Beis, Rashi writes that also. He writes, what is the goal of the Mincha? Right here, one second. I have the wrong Rashi in the sheet, but it is, here it is. D'mincha sota v'o d'lav avodi d'levarer avon ka'asya. Its primary goal is to help us clarify, did she sin or not? I should point out, Yushalmi has a machlokas. Is it really the water which helps her, which clarifies? Is it really the mincha which helps clarify? Is it what I think is probably the more simple pshat from Psukim, some combination of all of it together, and the process which provides it? But the first mahalach is, on some level, it is a mincha which is brought in order to clarify. In order to clarify exactly what is going on. Did she sin? Did she not sin? Yes, Sam, what's up?
How would the mincha do that? Like, it's not like it's not going to burn if she wasn't dishonest. Like,
we'll get there. We'll make a suggestion in a little bit. A bit later. Yosef Engel has a particular approach to that topic. The simple pshat is, I think, that through the zechus of the mincha on some level, that it's a miraculous thing. You know, you bring this mincha, you sinned, X happens, you didn't sin, Y happens. I think that's a simple pshat. You know, we don't have to do too much pressure explaining the miraculous. At least I don't feel too much pressure explaining the miraculous, but it is what it is. Okay. There is, however, evidence that maybe this mincha is brought more similar to a minchas chatas. A minchas chatas. It's brought for kapara. It's brought for atonement. Why would I think this mincha is brought for atonement and it's like a minchas chatas? So for three or four reasons, if we're going to be building a bit. Number one, it shares a couple parallels with the minchas chote that we spoke about. If you remember, certain averas that you violate, if you can't afford a karban chatas, you bring birds. If you can't afford the animal or the birds, you bring a minchas chote. The minchas chote shares at least two dinim in common with the minchas chote. Number one, they are the two minchas that lack shemen and levona. These minchas don't have oil on them. They don't have levona, frankincense, on them. They're brought with wheat. That's all they're brought with. So they are similar in that sense. Secondly, the Mishnah in Menachos on Beis Amud Aleph tells us that as opposed to a regular mincha, which if you offer it shelo lishma, with the wrong carbon in mind, with the wrong owner in mind, if you offer it for the wrong reason, so a regular mincha is still kosher, it's just lo alu lebalim l'shem chova. It doesn't count. You did not fulfill your obligation when you offered it. You didn't honor your commitment to bring a mincha, but it's still a kosher mincha. It can still be burned on the mizbeach. It's still kosher. The only two exceptions are minchas chote and minchas sota. Those are the two exceptions to the rule. Those are the two exceptions to the rule. Minchas chote and minchas chatas, you offer shelo lishma, the minchas become pasul. So one reason why I would begin to think that on some level it has a minchas chote kapara element is because it shares some dinim with minchas chote. But more than that, let's go one step further. Why is it that a minchas sota is pasul shelo lishma? Why is it pasul if I have the wrong owner or the wrong carbon in mind? What's so terrible about that? Why can't it still be kosher? So as Tosfos points out, the simple pshat in the Gemara in Menachos is it's a gezeiras hakasav. The Torah says he in the context of carbon chatas. It says he in the context of minchas chote. It says he in the context of minchas sota. So there's a gezeiras hakasav. That's all that it is. That's all that it is. However, Rashi in Menachos on Hey Amid Beis says, you know why a minchas sota is pasal shelo lishma? Why is it possible if you have the wrong owner in mind? Why is it possible if you have the wrong carbon in mind? Says Rashi in Menachos, because a chatas is pasal shelo lishma. And a mincha sota, rachmana ikri chatas, is called a chatas. And therefore, a mincha sota is called a chatas. It is pasal shelo lishma. There's only one problem. The one problem is it's not called a chatas in the Torah. A little bit of an issue. Elamai, it seems to be, and this the Achronim elaborate on, that Minchas Sota is so connected to Minchas Chote. There's such overlap that we will say that just as a Minchas Chote, Rachmana Ikri Chatas, so too a Minchas Sota, we will say, Rachmana Ikri Chatas. Rachmana Ikri Chatas. It's on some level a Chatas. Okay. This leads us to a question, which is, if you understand that the purpose of the mincha is to clarify sin, I get that. We have a legitimate suffix. What was the sin? Did she sin? Sorry, did she not sin? But if you're offering this carbon as a kapara, we have a bit of a question, which is, who needs a kapara right now? What's a kapara for? Who's kapara? We don't know, really, if we have a chait or don't have a chait. We're not sure if we're clarifying. We don't know what happened yet. So there are three mahalchim. If you understand it's clarify, it's for a kapara, who needs a kapara? Yeah, Jono.
Could it be a kapara for
the Yichud? Okay. So approach number one, the Shiyori HaKarban on the Yerushalmi. Jono was chazering. He just felt a little bit embarrassed to say so. The Shiyori Karban on the Yerushalmi in Sota says, Kivale in the Isser of Yichud, and therefore she requires kapara for the Isser Yichud that she violated. Now the only challenge is, we don't actually usually bring a Karban for a person who violates the Isser of Yichud. Okay. We're not always sure as Yichud, Isser Dorais, Isser Rabbanan, but maybe her Yichud is a worse kind of Yichud, or that once we are already offering the carbon to clarify for the sin, it has an additional function. The additional function is to give her some kapara for that also, as we know that sometimes carbonos can have multiple functions all at the same time. Maybe that's one approach. The other approach is a chizkuni. You can definitely take it or leave it. It's a fascinating chizkuni. It says the chizkuni as follows. You know who needs kapara? We don't know if she sinned, but he definitely dropped the ball a little bit. Says the Chizkuni, E.F. Shershaye Karban de Lechaper Aleha, she can't get Kapara here. Shari Zevach Risham to Evahu. Says the Chizkuni, Karbanos only work for people to provide Kapara when you have a degree of regret. She has no regret. She's denying everything. A Karban can't be Kapara for her. Aleha Ha'ish may be Karban le Kapara. It's karban, it's a kapara for him. Why kapara for him? Al sherab pritzas petchila v'lo hochicha. It's because he saw that there was pritzas. He didn't say anything. And it's his fault that we went through having to raise Hashem's name. If he was more on top of things earlier, things wouldn't have gotten to this point. And when a relationship falls apart to this extent, he's to blame a bit. Also, the carbon for his kapara. You can take it or leave it. None of us are working in the business of marriage therapy or marriage or couples counseling, so we're not going to get into the inner dynamics of that, but that's that. The third approach would say that the kapara is for her, not for her yichud, but the kapara is almost like a conditional kapara. That if she sinned, then part of the goal of this carbon is also to afford her a degree of kapara. That's at least a way of saying it. That part of that goal is to afford her a bit of kapara. Yeah, Rafi, we'd have an asham tali, like almost element there within that approach. Okay. I want to talk about two additional issues in the time that we have. Both of them relate to what we just saw. The first issue is
we'll see a little bit. That I think it's a standard pshat. Joseph Engel, I think, seems to assume that way, at least in certain sections. But I think that's a more mainstream approach, I think. By that I mean it's what I assumed, and therefore you tend to assume it's mainstream. That's not, you know, well thought out. That's, I think, the way that many people work. Like, if you assume that you're like, well, I think the mainstream approach is, you know, or you assume it was a chiddush, and you're like, I have an amazing chiddush, because that's what I assume. You know, I don't know. Everyone has their own issue. I have no idea. It's what I assumed. Okay. Next issue is the following. Every carbon has bialim. Every carbon has bialim. Who is the bialim of the minchas sota? Whose carbon is it? What are the options? Either it's his carbon, presumably, or it is her carbon. What's the third option? Maybe it's both of their carbons. It's both of their carbonos. What's the problem with saying it's both of their carbonos? So there's good reason to suspect it's both of their carbonos, because on the one hand, it's carbona, it's her carbon. On the other hand, it seems like the Baal is the one that's bringing the carbon. The Baal's bringing it, but it's also her, to clarify her sin with implications for the husband. So maybe it's both. The problem is, there's a sugya minachos and daf kuv dalid, a carbon mincha can't be brought bishutfas. Carbon mincha can't be brought by partners. So, whose is it? Whose is it? So there are, I believe, three ways of answering the question. One of them has a bit of a nuance. The simplest way of answering the question is the following. Tosfos in Sota and Davav implies that she is really the bialim on the carbon, almost exclusively. It happens to be he pays for it. It's his bank account. Okay, he pays for it. But it's her carbon entirely. It's her carbon entirely. That's what Tosfos in Sota seems to say. I believe that is how they would answer the question. Tosfos in Sota and Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis says a similar answer, but in a much more sort of like nuanced kind of a way, where Tosfos in Sota on Chav Gimel says, shoot, I didn't put it on the sheet, I'm sorry. Tosfos says, even though he brought the carbon and he has a connection to the carbon, Iker Kapara Bidida Talya Milsa. The Iker Kapara is for her. And therefore, it's not really called a carbon shutfas. It sounds like Tosfos understands carbon shutfas. This is not for now. But a shutfas doesn't require them. It's not a problem if they are equal partners. But you can have a mincha where both have a role. But as long as the kapara is primarily for one of them, that's not called a mincha of shutfas. So the first general mahalach is, it's not really a mincha of shutfas, because it's really either entirely her karban, or at least the kapara is primarily for her, and therefore it's sort of hers. Now, that second answer, Tosfos and Chav Gimel, assumes that the purpose of the mincha sota is not only to clarify a sin, but also for kapara, and that its role as a mechaper is strong enough that it will take away the problem of mincha b'shutfas. And since primarily the kapara is for her, it's like her carbon. That's the first, I guess, general approach, albeit two ways of saying it. General clarity thus far, 1, 2, and 3. Okay. The second approach would argue, I didn't see anyone that says explicitly, but I just imagine someone says this, that it's a gezeiras hakasev. The problem of no mincha b'shutfas is when there's a regular voluntary mincha. It sounds like that in the Mishnah Menachos, that two people can't volunteer a mincha. But anytime the Torah is mechayev you to bring a mincha, you can bring a b'shutfas, just like, and this Achronim point out, there is something called a mincha tzibor. The shtei halechem that we bring on Shavuos, the breads we bring on Shavuos, which are a mincha, is brought by the whole tibor. Shutfas, it's a gzeiras hakasev. At least it's one way of saying it. That there's no problem here. It is both of their karbanos, but there's no problem here of shutfas. Okay, take it or leave it. I don't know. The Ragat Shavar,
the Tzafnas Paneach has a third mahalach. Says the Ragachavar, this is not a problem of Mincha B'Shutfas, because it is not her karban, nor is it his karban. This is a karban that belongs to their integrated Ishus. They are one. It is their Ishus, their marriage, bringing the karban. That the problem of Shutfas is two separate individuals can't bring a karban. That's not what's happening here. This is a singular karban brought for their Ishus. I would point out, this makes a whole lot more sense in light of the second Mahalach that we opened up with. That the primary goal of Sota may be not as focused on the sin, but more on their marriage. And the goal of this carbon is clarifying. So, does this marriage have a future? Does it have no future? Does it have somewhere it could go or not? That seems to be, on some level, part of what's going on for the Ragashavar. So we've seen thus far two main mahalchim and Sota. We've seen thus far, is it only to clarify a sin? Or is it for kapara, his kapara, her kapara on the yichud, her kapara on the potential znus? And whose karban is it really? Is it her karban because of the kapara, their karban to clarify for the ishus, and some Torah like that? The last thing I want to point out is the following. There is a very famous question in the Achronim. Rav Yosef Engel wrote a sefer, a bunch of Sfarim. We are most familiar with a sefer called Asvan D'Oraisa and Lekach Tov, in those Sfarim, or Gilyone Hashas. We've quoted him a bunch of times this year. He has a sefer entitled Gevuras Shmonim. Gevuras Shmonim is one question with 80 answers. One question with 80 answers. Now, if you go through the whole sefer, full disclosure, I haven't, but from the skimming I did, I'm positive that what I'm saying right now is true. It isn't really 80, like, entirely separate answers. It's like, you know, 15 answers challenging one assumption in 15 different ways. But it's 80 answers. It's a remarkable, remarkable sefer. It happens to be on our sugya, is the question that Yachronim ask. I'll tell you the question. It's an awesome question. I mean, I'll share with you one of the answers, which is an amazingly, like, interesting approach. He asked the following question. Ask Yachronim Makshima Olam. There is a deya in the Gemara in Zvachim. If a karban can become pigle, there are ways to passel a karban. If you have in mind that the karban's going to be offered, eaten, past the amount of time, in the wrong place, there are ways to passel a karban through pigle. Sugya de Masechta Zvachim, not for now. Pigle. There's a deya in Zvachim that not only can the kohen create pigle if he has the wrong thing in mind, but so can the owners create pigle if they have the wrong things in mind. Ask the Achronim the following question. She is the bialim on this karban. Well, if you understand that she is the bialim on the karban, and you understand that bialim can always create pigle and passel a karban, so won't every single sota woman just have in mind to create pigle, and this karban will never clarify anything? This karban can never accomplish its goal. She will always just have the wrong thing in mind. And if she has the wrong thing in mind, it's not going to work for her. And therefore, how can Mincha Sota, how can we ever clarify anything? She is the bialim on the karban. And if she is the bialim on the karban, she can do pigle. And if she can do pigle, the karban's not going to work. And if it's not going to work, we'll never know if she's going to sin. So how does it work at all? It's a very, like, intriguing, thought-provoking question. If you go through it, it has enough steps that you can intuit, not 80 answers, but at least, like, there probably are a bunch of answers to this question. There probably are. Clarity on the question, 1, 2, and 3. Okay. One answer would be, well, maybe, she's not the bialim on the karban alone. I think it's Divrei Chaim, the Sanzer Rebbe. I imagine Rav Engel has it also, that she's not the only bialim. He's also the bialim. He's also the bialim. Or their ishus is bialim on this karban, and therefore she doesn't have the authority to cause it to be pigle. Doesn't have the authority to cause. She's not the real bialim. Get ready for the following just unbelievably intriguing suggestion of Rav Yosef Engel. This is in Gvura Shmonim, I believe, Osh Yud Gimel. He offers the following answer. Said to Yosef Engel as follows. Sam's question. How does the Mincha Sota clarify anything? How does it work? So I'll show you his answer. I'm sorry, it's in my notes, unfortunately, and not in on the source sheet. He says the following. It's so interesting. Okay. Says like this. The way that carbon mincha, what happens like this. What is a carbon? A carbon is a way that you are trying to attain a closeness to Hashem. It's carbon milashon his karvus, to get closer to Ribono Sha'olam. I want to improve and get a certain kind of relationship. This carbon is actually only worthy of a woman who is tahora. A woman who's tahora is worthy of bringing this carbon to bring her closer to Ribono Sha'olam. A woman who cheated on her husband is not deserving of offering such a carbon. The carbon won't accomplish its goal for such a person. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel following, please hold cup, it's an amazingly like sharp and intriguing idea. If she is tahora, so this is really a good carbon. And because it's really a good carbon, she's going to offer it. She's going to get closer to Hashem Yisparach. She's going to be zoche as a result of getting closer. It's really her carbon. And as a result of getting closer to Hashem, she will be blessed with children. She'll be blessed with higher quality children. As a result of the religious experience of offering this carbon and attaining its karvus to Ribono Sha'olam. That's his theory. Now, an Isha Tahora that is obviously not going to have in mind Piggle, because she wants the carbon to be offered. It's her way of clarifying. It's her way of ensuring she'll have better children. She would never have anything bad in mind. Says Bishop Engel the following. A woman who cheated on her husband is not deserving of this act of his karvas to Ribono Sha'olam. A woman who cheated on her husband is not ra'oi to bring such a karvan. And you know what? If she would bring such a karvan, she lied and said she was innocent, and she brought such a karvan, said Yosef Engel, that's usher. It's like tumas mikdash v'katshav. It's like she brought something tamei into the Beis HaMikdash. It's like she offered something on the Mizbeach that's not really a good carbon. She's not worthy of this carbon. She isn't even in the sense of Engel. If she's Mizana, we won't even really call her the Bailim on this carbon, because this is not a carbon that should ever have been offered. It's almost like offering Chulin La'azara. It's like a non-carbon offering on the Mizbeach. Says Yosef Engel, well, Mimanavshach. Only the Bailim could create Piggle. If she's an Isha Tehora, she's worthy of bringing this carbon. So guess what? It's her carbon. But she never have in mind to be Mefagalit, because she wants the carbon to work. And if she cheated on her husband, so this woman's going to want to apostle the carbon. She's going to want to have in mind Piggle. The problem is that if she was an Isha with Mizana, Klape Shmaya Galya, the Ribono Sha'olam knows this woman cheated on her husband, and therefore this carbon really shouldn't be offered. And therefore, you know why she dies? She dies not because of the hate of cheating on her husband. She died because she brought Tomas Mikdash Fakatshav. She brought, at least part of it, because she brought Tomei in, and she's not the Bailim on the carbon. She's going to have in mind Piggle. Only the Bailim can cause Piggle, but this is not a good carbon. Because it's not a good carbon, she's not going to be able to offer it, and therefore, she's not. That's why she gets killed, and that's why she can't be Mefagel. It's really smart. It's really smart. Is it the simplest pshat? Maybe not. But answer 13 in the Book of 80, it is certainly worthy to be there. A very sharp explanation. Let's chazer what we saw today. We saw the following. The Mincha V'Sota. We got into a little bit what's going on in Sota. We're not sure. It's clarifying a sin. One approach. Second approach, it's not clarifying a sin. It's trying to fix the marriage, to fix the marriage a little bit. We saw a question. Is it only about fixing it? Or is it also about, I thought Kuf Dalet, John, or Kuf Dalet Menachos. Or is it, it's also Gemara in Zvachim, I think on Daf Hey, I believe, I don't remember. Is it only about clarifying the sin or also Kapara? Who's Kapara? We then wonder who's the Bailim of the Karban. Is she the Bailim? She's the Bailim, the Iker Bailim, because of Kapara. Is the Isha, it's all about clarifying. And then we saw the Yosef Engel Torah, which is that question, the Bailim, the Fagel, etc. Great, if not, don't worry about it at all. Hope this was good and clear for all of you.